Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And Jan, I want to wish you a happy November.
Thank you. It's, the same to you.
Thank you.
Yay!
It is fall. And yesterday was actually Texas Arbor Day.
I know.
Texas is really progressive in having their own Arbor Day, not just the one in April for the national, but really because we're promoting tree planting in the fall in Texas in general is just the great time to be able to go out there and find a location for your in your landscape and plant a tree.
Well, and what an honor to have the Texas celebration here in El Paso.
Right, exactly. It's great to be on the rotation for that, and we hope they come back and be able to look at El Paso and how we're progressing. And you know, we talk about, you know, just before the show and all the construction around town and all the buildings going up. And one thing that we shouldn't negate is the importance of the green space and the landscape that's attached to that. A lot of times folks, you know, builders are looking in the landscape or always the afterthought, and they'll just go by what the requirements are for the code to get X number of trees planted onto their property. And for us, it's a challenge when we're educating homeowners because our biggest issue is always, you know, get the right plant in the right place.
Right.
And sometimes we see the demise of trees just a little too early, and that's because they weren't really planted with a lot of thought on how they're going to grow and the mature size.
Well, and that was a key point, Denise, is the mature size. And because I've stumbled and fallen more than once with those kinds of issues, it's so important. And not only the mature size, but we have a lot of information that's available about trees that are good for our area. You know, here we are, part of Texas, but we're pretty far removed, and our environment is so different from the eastern part of the state. That's the most populated part of Texas. And it's very important that we stop and think carefully about planting our natives and so forth and so on, and when to plant it, and the proper way to plant a tree. We talk about planting a $1 plant in a $10 hole, and that makes a difference. And that certainly is true with trees that you do that. And we're very blessed to have the Urban Forestry Council here. And I know you're president of it this year. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
It's been in your spare time.
Right.
But it's so important.
It's definitely getting a lot of groups of folks of interested in being, you know, tree stewards and really educating the public on the importance of trees. And we do have a long way to go on the percent of canopy in our area, especially in El Paso City proper, if you will. It does not compare to other cities, not even within our region. I mean, even as close as Albuquerque or Tucson and Phoenix as well, we have to make sure that we get not just trees in the ground, but we want to make sure that they live a long life.
Exactly.
And really being able to categorize our trees, we can look at them in different ways. Mm-hmm. We can categorize them in different ways. And the main category, if you will, is whether it's an evergreen or if it's going to be deciduous.
That's a big word, like mayonnaise.
It sure is. So evergreens are going to be your pines and your cypress, and your things are going to stay green all year round. They may not be actively growing the entire year, but they're going to remain with their leaves or their needles on them as well. And your deciduous trees are really interesting because they're always going to have that leaf drop at the end of the season.
Exactly.
And if you really pay attention to some landscapes and some trees, and the landscape may really pop out to you is if they have a really striking fall color.
They do, like the Chinese pistache,
for instance. That's a wonderful, great, vibrant red that add a striking contrast, especially to some, you know, cloudy days, if you will. And then other trees are going to have your natural either yellow or orange as well. Sure. So kind of look at that and kind of see what kind of effect you want to have into your landscape. So once you kind of figure out that tree type, then you want to look at your categories of trees. And we'll talk a little bit about some small trees.
Okay.
And small trees are going to be defined as anything that's going to max out at 25 feet in height.
That's small?
Yeah,
it is small.
Because they're trees, right?
That's true.
So we have some other trees that we like to be able to look at in El Paso. And one of those is going to be our Mexican redbud. And that's one of my favorites. You know, during the wintertime, kind of cold and dreary, but the first signs of spring, you'll start seeing these beautiful pink flowers. And that's really unique to the Mexican redbud because it will flower out before the leaves pop out. So it's
very unique.
It's very unique. It's very different than the Texas red bud as well, because it's a thicker leaf. So, and it's a lot glossier.
I was going to say, it's very shiny, if I remember correctly.
Yes, exactly. And that's really going to help with water loss.
Certainly.
As well. So if you want to go out there and look for a nice little small tree, that Mexican redbud is one of the ways to go. It has some really persistent pods. They'll have some pods that'll drop off, but it won't really make a lot of litter.
Yeah, it's not as messy as some of the others.
As other ones. And there's some other ones that are out there as well that you kind of consider, well, could that be a multi-stemmed shrub, or is it a small tree? And I know one of the ones that we both really enjoy is going to be the Texas Mountain Laurel.
Oh, and fragrant when it blooms. It smells like grape soda, I guess.
Right. A lot of folks say that. Yeah, definitely.
And it's a slow grower. It's a slow grower. So my recommendation, if you're going to purchase one, is to go ahead and invest in a little more expensive tree or shrub. And some can be done as shrubs and as trees. So those are things to consider. But that mountain laurel is a real beauty.
And that's one that we don't necessarily consider, but it is an evergreen. It's not a
It's not deciduous.
It's not deciduous. It'll keep its leaves on all year long. It'll only bloom once. But
downside.
If you're really into that and invested into that, it also the blooms also attract a lot of pollinators.
Bees all over the place. Hummingbirds love it.
Exactly. So it's
definitely know how I am about hummingbirds,
right? So definitely having that, you know, wildlife habitat being built into your trees as well as another one to think about. And I was talking to our urban forester through a Texas A&M Forest Service, and we're kind of have a different, you know, opinions on some trees and how others may be characterized as invasive or others that may do well in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And one of those is the vitex.
I was going to say, I'll bet you she's going to say vitex.
Right. Which is another one that also has quite a fragrant seeds as well.
And beautiful, very persistent lavender blossoms.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen those a lot coming up in trade shows where they're either white blooms or pink blooms.
Oh, really?
The real popular one is going to be the purple one. And I think because Texas was in a drought a couple of years ago, so they're kind of looking at other trees to be able to expand on. And that vitex will kind of take off on you sometimes, too. There's a lot of seedlings on there that kind of pop up. So,
and I've seen them done in very large containers. But they will do, and that kind of restricts their growth a little bit too. If you don't want a giant tree in your yard, you can, but it still has to be a very good size, large container, you know. But you can restrict the growth in that, and they're very ornamental. They're very, very pretty. I remember when I was working, the Isleta School District had a whole
row.
A whole row right in front of their parking lot.
Oh.
And when you were mentioning to the Chinese pistachio people, because we talk about that tree often, out at the Rose Garden, there's a bunch of Chinese pistachio. And they're very mature trees, and they surround the garden on at least two sides, and they are they're one of my absolute favorites. And so, you know, if you're not sure what these look like, of course, you can always Google it.
Right.
There's lots of images and good pictures, but those are some things. And another one that I have in my yard and that's done very, very well for me is the desert willow.
Mm.
And I know that John White always makes sure to bring those in during his annual sale in April. And that's a great tree for El Paso as well.
Right, exactly. Another one that hummingbirds love with
those
tuber-shaped flowers as well. And then there's some that are not as seedy, if you will. I believe the newest cultivar is named Bubba.
Bubba. I wish, ma'am, because I have an older cultivar. Mine's about... it's going on 20 years old. I've got two of them, and they've just done beautifully. But I wish I had Bubba, because Bubba's not as messy as his sister.
Right. Exactly. And I know that we always, you know, driving around town, and you always see the most coveted parking spaces are going to be right under those trees.
Oh, yes.
As well. So there's nothing just like a natural mm-hmm. shade that's able to cool down the area, because right. we live in such an area that, you know, we have low humidity that standing under a tree is going to help.
Exactly.
So we definitely want to make sure that we promote those. And I think one challenge that I see a lot of times is that a tree is selected, I think, in a good faith way to, you know, add to the landscape and everything, but it kind of outgrows its size. Ugh. And you kind of see like these huge trees that are actually dwarfing
everything
the homes.
Else in your garden.
Exactly, or even the home
Certainly
property
itself.
That it sits on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was the case with the mulberry trees. And clarify something for me, uh-huh. Denise. It was my understanding that those have been outlawed, planting mulberries.
For many years.
For many years. And that's still the case, right? Because I had somebody ask me that the other day, and I said, nah, to my knowledge, they're still...
Yeah, they're still not available here locally. And those come in either male or female trees. And the issue with that is the pollen that's released by the male tree.
Goodness, yes.
And they're those catkins that kind of look like little light yellow worms that kind
of... The roots go to China.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, how far-reaching they are. And they can really overpower your house and your other plants, too. I know my neighbors have a couple.
Right.
And it really impacts our pecan trees on the north side. So we have to, you know, be nice neighbors and ask them, would you please prune that tree for
Cut
us?
Cut down so, that tree.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
And that's huge. And they're beautiful. I mean, there's those, you know, wonderful shade trees and so forth. But they do promote, you know, the roots come up and it's very hard to plant around them.
Right.
And those are difficult. And so that's another advantage to some of these trees that are more native.
And all those trees are becoming, you know, they're older now because they haven't been able to be replaced. So, you know, couple that with effects of drought issues, maybe
yes.
not some deficit irrigation, not enough water. That's
mm-hmm.
why you have your roots really that are shallow up into the soil surface as well. And then just overall decay and rot.
Yes.
We have challenges with pruning issues on our mulberry trees,
oh,
or people kind of
huge.
Top them or they get them down to the nubs, if you will, every year. And that just really weakens
so
the tree.
That's so dangerous for any tree, folks. Do not do that if we don't teach you anything else.
Right.
Don't do what I remember Oscar Mestas telling us that was the Texas chainsaw massacre
right.
was the way that those trees were topped. And then it looks like fists that are sticking out. They're ugly.
Right.
They're just not attractive at
it's
all.
It's very
not
true. And it does weaken. And then what happens is that flush of new growth every spring comes out and these branches are small. They're weaker. They're
yes.
tender. They're not safe. So that's a problem that we have every year.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not into pruning season, if you will.
It's
we're
going
to hold off onto that until the middle of the winter. But definitely you want to make sure that your pruning is going to be able to, you know, that you were there, but not necessarily everybody else knows that you were around there. And we do have a lot of different publications out for folks that are interested in learning more about trees. And you can always visit the El Paso Master Gardener website at txmg.org/El Paso. And there you'll find the recommended trees for El Paso. And that publication was put together originally by the West Texas Urban Forestry Council and the Texas A&M Forest Service. And we have it available as well as on our website. So we do encourage you to be able to go out there, take a look at your different trees. If you have questions on how to identify those, make sure that you give us a call at the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. And we sure enjoyed you listening, and we really appreciate you listening to our show.
I know. We have a good time.
One,
if you can't tell.
Exactly. And with that, I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.